Praise the Lord. Brethren, we are happy to be back with you again. And we are very, very happy to be privileged to carry on this work. God called me, sent me with a message. I know the message must bring life to the people of God. And this is our whole life. Praise God. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we will read from the 29th verse to the 30th. I'm going to speak to you about the sin against the body of Christ. Praise be to God. And when I'm through, God's willing, I hope to find some time for free discussion, for you to ask me any questions that you may have a doubt about, anything that I might insinuate which was not clear, anything that comes up in your heart, let us be free one with another, for we are one in the Lord. Praise God. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I'll begin by explaining what we mean by the Lord's body. The Lord's body is the Lord. The Lord's body is Christ. Christ is the eternal one that is coexistent with the Father from before time was. Amen. And this one we call the Son. He was manifested in a body. We call him Jesus. Hallelujah. And praise be to God, Jesus is the head of Christ. Now, I hope you can understand. Jesus is the head of Christ. Christ is a spirit. Christ is a spirit that is part of God existing from before the world was. And this Christ made all things that was made. Hallelujah. And this Christ made us, I'm confident, made every one of us here. Amen. There are some people who Christ didn't make. Unless you are born again, you are not made by Christ. So when Christ made you over in your second birth, you became a child of God. Before you were a child of Adam, born under sin, born to death. There was no other way out but death. This death Jesus took, and because Jesus took this death, we accept his sacrifice and we become a part of God's body, part of the body of Christ. Amen. Now, there are stages and steps into Christ which we will not go into, but I just describe to you what is Christ so that you might know when we speak about the body of Christ, then you might understand what we are talking about. Now, in Revelation, we'll hold this scripture in Corinthians, and we'll turn to Revelation chapter 1, and we see the picture of Christ. Amen. This is the picture of Christ. I know many people like to draw, and they draw many pictures and put on their walls, which have no resemblance to Christ and has nothing to do with Christ. It's very difficult to draw the picture of a spirit. Amen. And this is what some people have tried to do. But here is the picture of Christ in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the middle candlestick of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That's the picture of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We see ahead Jesus Christ, the Son of God, standing in the middle of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. You. Amen. There's nothing else, no other operation that God has on earth beside you, the body of Christ. And if you are not moving into the body of Christ, you are resisting the will of Almighty God. If you are not progressing in the body of Christ, you are resisting the will of God. If you are not working in the body of Christ, you are resisting the will of God. For it is God's will, when you were birthed through Christ, that you should go into Christ, even to the very height of Christ, which is like Jesus. Amen. This is the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, to be like him. Amen. If you can't be like him, you are not in Christ. In other words, the people who preach and say, oh, we can't be like Christ, we don't have any hope to be like Christ, we just have to be always sinning and so on and so, that is not true. Amen. God, you were birthed in Jesus that you might be like Jesus Christ, the man, the natural flesh and blood man that walked earth. You are now that man. God has no other Jesus down here to walk the earth again, but he has your hands, your eyes, your members in this earth that must live and function to bring forth Jesus Christ in the earth. Hallelujah. And if you can't bring forth the whole of Jesus now, you bring forth what you can. Because you're going to bring forth the other part, and you will bring forth the other part. And together, this is the way we hit perfection. And the only time we are going to hit perfection is when we are one in Christ. You see my point? We have no hope. Let me tell you, brethren, God has been showing us things to come. God has been showing us the age we are in. God has been showing us the beast and the false prophet. Right here now, I'm not talking about tomorrow. And unless you are one with God's body, you have no hope in this distress and destruction that is upon us and is coming upon us. As Christ's body, as the body of Jesus Christ, you are going to walk above on top of every trouble, every torment, every distress that hell can bring forth here. If they have an atomic war, you're going to walk over it. People are going to die on every hand, and you're going to survive and live. Amen. I never forget one night I came out of church sometime near 12 o'clock. I was walking to my home, and God said to me, go to the train line and just look at that train. I turned off the road, went across a field, went to the train line to look at the train coming. And this was a Catholic train. The Roman Catholic had a garden party, and they were running a train to make money to build a church beside my church. And they were running this train through the town, which was the center of the island, going to the other end of the island. And when I looked at the train was moving so fast that it was just a blur of light. And I know the railway in Jamaica, that track can't take that speed. But that's what it was doing. And God said, pray for your brother. Now that was a peculiar thing. My brother was not supposed to be anywhere on the train. But, you know, God said, pray for him. I lifted up my hand and prayed for my brother on the train. 4 minutes after the train passed me, it crashed down the road. and such a destruction you have never seen, except you've been to war and seen bodies torn to pieces after battle. And this is what I saw there. Bodies were torn to pieces, heads, and a big pile like this house was piled up with parts of people that were being picked up and put together, and the trucks were hauling it out. About 400 people were carnage down there. My brother was not supposed to be on the train, but he was there. A friend of his said, "Let's go," and he jumped on the train, and that's it. And he was sitting down there, and he said, suddenly, like something spoke to him, he jumped off the seat, and there was a great crash, and the wheel, the big wheel and axle, jumped in the seat where he was sitting. And the man beside him was crushed and pinned down under the wheel, and he was standing there, not a scratch, and the whole coach he was in was splintered completely, and he was standing there with his children, and nothing happened to them. Amen. We have got to begin to believe what we preach. Believe Almighty God that if an atom bomb should blow over your head, nothing would happen. Believe God. And so, this is what we're talking about, the body of Christ. Fully matured, with hair white, eyes like a flame of fire. Blessed be to God, our sight will be at last like a laser beam. Praise God. And our will be girt around with truth, golden girdle. Hallelujah. The feet were like fine brass walking through fire. Yes. Hallelujah. The feet of the body of Christ is to walk through the tribulation. This is what this is saying here. The feet walking through fire. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Thank God, God will have a star for each church. A star for each church. And when we talk about church now, we're using it worldly. Not the ecclesia, the call out one. But for those 7 churches of Asia whom God spoke about when the body became divided and torn up, and men begin to go their own way. They went 7 different ways. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said he would not leave them comfortless. He's going to set a star in each church so that men may be able to find their way. Like the wise men in the darkness of night, they had a star to guide them to the manger. So no man will have any excuse. God set 7 stars in the churches. And a sword came out of his mouth. And that speaks of the judgment that will come. We're speaking of Christ. I'm just not preaching about Christ, but just giving you an idea of what we're talking when we say the body of Christ. Now, we turn back to Corinthians. And Corinthians tell us, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." What cause? "Because they discern not, they fail to see the body of Christ." Hallelujah. Now, what do I mean by failing to see the body of Christ? Well, there are many bodies around. There are many groups around. There are many denominations around. And if I believe that a denomination is the body of Christ, I am wrong. If I believe a group is the body of Christ, I am wrong. Amen. So where is the body of Christ? I'm going to have to discern you, brother. And I'm going to have to discern you. And I'm going to have to believe God that there is a people. Hallelujah. In spite of everything else. I know some people believe, we alone are holding the fort. We are just lonely. We are just the only ones around. And God had told his prophet already. He said, "I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal." Blessed be to God. Today, there is Baalism on a larger scale, a more profound organization and scale, a more powerful thing than ever it was down in the time when men used to carry gifts and sacrifice before an altar of idol. The modern man is too sophisticated. He is too sensible to bow before an idol. His idol is in his heart. Amen. He bows before the idol of wood and stone. Yes. Men will bow before their idols of wood, beautiful house, amen, and stone, amen, and iron. God said because they worship the God of iron and silver and gold and stone and wood. Amen. Don't you see? The modern man has found a way to make his idol not so obvious. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what God is calling us away from. Hallelujah. And the voice of Jesus Christ in the midst of the noise and the bustle of the everyday life is calling these people to a new understanding. Don't look upon the church organization. Don't look upon the organization. Don't look upon the thing you see out there that men call their church, their thing. But look to the body of Christ. Or else you will be committing a sin against Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Now, let us just look a little further on. We see here in the 12th chapter, we see verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3, and let us listen to Nicodemus and Jesus Christ again. Amen. Because somehow we might have forgotten that story. Amen. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's see what Jesus is talking about. Nicodemus wanted to hear things about the kingdom. He wanted to learn about what Jesus would have to teach him of the kingdom. How can I get in? What kind of application must I make? What are the qualifications I must have to get into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, your first qualification is to be born again of water. Now, water is the washing of by the word. The washing of the water by the word. We accept Jesus Christ, you are born again of water. But then he came down and he repeated himself and made some additions in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. First of all, he said, you cannot see the kingdom unless you're born again. Then he come back and said, you cannot enter into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, if you join this with what I just read a while ago, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30, Paul said, for many are taking communion with the saints who are not seeing the kingdom. E power to become sons of God. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a certain power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. Jesus made a peculiar statement in Matthew. He was there preaching and somebody came and said, your mother and your brethren are out there want to see you. Your natural mother and your natural brethren. They want to have a family meeting with you. So come. He said, who is my mother and my brethren? And he said, those who do the will of my Father, they are my mother and my brethren. Amen. So Praise God. We have all kinds of brethren. We have brothers in evil. We have brothers here, and we have brothers there, and we have brothers there. So Jesus was saying that his standard of those whom he claims to be in that place of brotherhood with himself are those who do the will of the Father. And you know it's not hard. You get saved right now. You start doing the will of the Father. That moment you become a brother of Jesus Christ. And if you continue in that way, he'll take you right where all brothers go. To the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, this thought here says, I'll give you authority. This wasn't a real, the word was translated power. But it could be better translated, I'll give you authority to become the sons of God. Of course, we do use the English that way. I give you the power to go and do so and so in my name. But Jesus Christ was giving them authority here. Over in Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ said, I give you power over the power of the enemy. And this power was a different power. Dunamin in the Greek means, just like you would say, dynamite, explosive power. Amen. Acts 1 and verse 7. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive dunamis, power, explosive might. No authority. You've got the authority already. Now you want power to do the job. You want force. And this is what this says. I'll give you force, dynamite. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Therefore, to be witnesses, you must have the Holy Ghost. Then what about being with having the Holy Ghost and putting him in a back room, locking him up out down there, and give him a nice quarters in the house? So you can have all you want, but this is my section, and that's your section. You lock him off. And then when you're ready for him, you say, come, Holy Ghost, come. And he comes in. And when you don't want him around, you just lock him back in his room. And this is the situation with many people's lives, because God will not force you. There's one peculiar, wonderful thing about God. God makes every human being free. And God will never breach the sovereignty of your will. You are sovereign. You are king until you step down and make Jesus Christ king. And with all the songs and with all the talk that people have, say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'm yet to see it. I really have yet to see Jesus being Lord. For if Jesus is Lord, then he's head. And I tell you something. And when Jesus is head, you are really functioning in the body of Christ. Amen. You know something? Waste matter is in your body, but it's on its way out. And I just hope that some of us are not in the body like waste matter that is being cast off. Amen. Because, you know, I remember David praying a prayer. Cast me not off, take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. And at that time, the Holy Spirit of God did not indwell David, but the Holy Spirit would come and abide with David, fall upon David. Amen. Amen. And withdraw from David. Amen. And therefore, the prayer was quite in order. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But in this hour, when the Holy Spirit has come into his temple and wants to do his work, amen, the understanding is, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Break down every wall. Pull down every fence. Take the whole house for yourself. This is the prayer now that we have with the Holy Spirit. Now, now that I have explained Christ, what Christ really is, now let's see what the sin against Christ is. Now, the Bible says here that if you don't discern the body of Jesus Christ, then there is sin against Christ. Now, as I have said before, discern is to see. I remember a phrase in Isaiah And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I want you to know that this is not just preachers saying that this was a case, but this was the case. Uzziah was Isaiah's cousin. Isaiah was in the palace living, and really he was like the White House aides. See, and he was having it real good under those circumstances. You said Uzziah, right? Is that you were saying? I said Uzziah. I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't pick up the static. Well, Uzziah, therefore, was a barrier in the eyesight of Isaiah. He could not see God for seeing Uzziah. You get it? He was seeing the man. He could not see God. God was cloudy in his sight. He was not discerning God. Jesus help us. Today we are seeing our denominations. We are seeing our groups. We are seeing our leaders. And they become so big that we cannot see the body of Christ clearly. Hallelujah. If a brother disagrees with us, he's not in the body of Christ. I don't hear any amens, so I know it's true. You know that sort of way. If the brother has another thought, another doctrine, if he has a revelation that we didn't have, is not in the body of Christ, we ostracize him, we cut him out, we divide the body. Amen. But I'm glad for something here. Glad for something. I had a word from God sometime. Now I can't remember times. But I was praying about how, God, are we going to come from here to there? There looks so high and here looks so low. How are we going to do it? Now, every preacher has got to be careful that he doesn't believe that I am going to do it. Because when God gives you power and God gives you revelation, you want to do it, man. You want to do it. And this is a downfall of many of us. Here I had this vision. We were down in this deep ravine. I could hardly call it a valley. It was down, you know. And way up on top, we could see the sunlight on the top of the hills. And there was a beautiful house, but it was down between these rocks in the ravine. I wondered who would build a house down there, but it was our house. And a voice from heaven spoke, and it said, "The house must be lifted to the top of the mountain." Say, all right. Say, I'm a builder. And strange enough, all the ministers were builders. So we went on top of the roof and we begin to examine the seams of the house. How the house was put together. You know what we're going to do? Cut it up in many little pieces. And each man lift his piece up to the top of the mountain. By winch or by rope or by cable. I could see in my mind a cable up in the mountaintop. I could see somebody striking sticks in the side of the mountain, going up to the top to plant some mighty cables to run it down and get some winches or motor machinery to pull the different pieces up there, and then we put it together again. Oh my God. That was our way. And as we were there contemplating, this man wanted to cut here, the other one wanted to cut there, and we were there contemplating, I thought, well,
we came to a conclusion now, how we're going to cut it. So I came off the housetop and walked down into the ravine. And there I saw a triple cross. You know, a signpost that looks like a cross with three cross bars to it. If I remember rightly, one might have been smaller or something, but it had some point shape at each end. And it dust had covered it over, and it was leaning down in the valley like this. So I took out my kerchief, dusted off the first bar, and it said, mixing. Mixing. I dusted the second one, it said, maxing. I said, well, this couldn't be pointing to any place, you know. You know, I wanted to know what kind of signpost was down in such a valley, pointing to where, you know. And then when I dusted the third one off, it said Nixon. And I said, well, this one is a mystery. But one thing I knew, that it was saying that Nixon is going to win the election, because it was just about the time before the election. So I went back to the housetop, and we were ready now to cut this house up and to put it on top of the hill, when we found ourselves and the house and everything in the bright sunshine on top of the hill through a divine intervention. Hallelujah. But we were together. This is one thing. We were together even in our decision to cut up the house. We had come together on a negative point to cut the house in pieces and to lift it up, and no sooner than that God intervened. Brethren, I believe that before Mr. Nixon gets out of office, we are going to have a divine intervention in the church. That's a good part of the vision. I mean, that's my interpretation, and I am wrong sometimes. So that's left to your own interpretation. You can see me wrong, and it would be nice if, well, you could help me go right, you know. Praise God. But this is my interpretation of it, that it means that before Mr. Nixon gets out of office, during his time, because it was at the beginning when he was just coming in, that this church, the body of Christ, is going to be lifted into a high place. This is what we are looking for. We can't make it. We will never, as it is going, the ministry alone, of course, in the way we are going, it would take us 1,000 years before we would get near anywhere lifting this body to the place that we ought to be in Christ. But thank God, there's hope. The divine intervention is at hand, and I believe with all my heart that God's going to give us a boost. Land us on top of it. The great part about it, we didn't feel it, we didn't see it, we didn't know it. We looked around and found out that we were on top of the hill. Glory to God in the highest. Now, I said that to say this, that the division in the body of Christ is the great sin. And the great sin is against your brother. Now I'm going to show you something here that probably most of you had never seen in your Bible before. Turn your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians and let us look at 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul again preaching the communion. And he preaches something here. I speak as to wise, verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What did he say? He said that the communion bread is you. You are the bread. And if I'm going to eat bread as a symbol of eating Christ, I am going to eat from you. What kind of thing is that? Jesus comes, stand up before a whole crowd of people and said, brethren, eat me. He said, eat me up. Eat my flesh. Look here. This is good flesh, isn't it? He said, eat my flesh. And he said, drink my blood. And he wasn't joking. No smile. He said, if you don't eat my flesh, and if you don't drink my blood, you have no life in you. Who? What? The life in the body is the flesh of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's analyze that. Because he did not mean his natural flesh. He was speaking on the spiritual plane, on the third dimension of the word. In that space. Yet he was speaking to carnal people, and they walked, said, this is a hard shame. Yes. I can imagine some righteous Jew say, I don't eat pork, or I don't eat, you know, so and so, much less to go and eat human flesh. I'm not going to eat it, but blessed be to God Almighty. I see in the Isaiah 28, I won't turn to it, I just speak of it. Jesus complaining, the priest and the prophet, they are out of the way. Oh, he said, every table is full of vomit, and there is filthiness everywhere. You know what he was saying? He was saying a very nauseating thought. If you have good stomachs now, listen. If not, just close your ears. He was saying that the priest was vomiting up, spiritually speaking, and he was spreading a table of his own vomit for the people. In other words, men were feeding other men out of their own minds, out of their own intellectual vomit. That's what he was talking about. They were feeding people not on God, not from the king's table, but from their own unclean table. Their own vomit was the food they were giving people. And he said the cure for it, he said, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to the people who get the rest. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is the cure for that vomit eating. But here we come right back to the distress. And Jesus, Paul said, you are the bread which we eat. Now, how am I going to eat you? Hallelujah. How am I eating you now? Did you know I was feeding on you? Praise God. You think I was going to stand up here alone and give this message? You think I was going to be here alone tonight without any hearts and souls vibrating with the glory and power of God and the deep interest of Jesus Christ that I can feel within you? Do you think I could stand up here and give a message like this without study? Amen. Without any preparation. Except lying before God and said, feed your people, Jesus. Listen, you are feeding me tonight as much as I am feeding you. From my soul sanctified, from my soul blessed, from the hours of fasting and prayer and deep travail, I bring forth a word to you. Bless God Almighty. You eat, Jesus, from my soul. Amen. And I eat Jesus from your soul that is flooding me with energy and life. Blessed be to God. This is the bread. This is the bread. Can you eat the bread of God and eat the bread of the devils at the same time? Paul asked. How are you going to feast with the body of Christ and then turn around and feast and trash and feast over here and feast over there? Blessed be to God Almighty. The only place you get life is from the body of Christ. Whether you know it or not. Amen. When you were dead in trespasses and sins, dying, and somebody came and woke you to life, where did you think it came from? It had to come from Jesus Christ through that person. That person was only a vessel used of Jesus. It was Jesus that came to you, and not a human being. So we feed from the body of Christ. Okay. Now, you ask me then, Brother DeSil, what is the blood? if the body of Christ, the bread, is thy sister and brother, and the energy of life that comes out of their souls, what is the blood? Let me tell you what the blood is. This is the blood. Blessing Jesus. Blessing the labor, him strengthening, lifting up, and the brother gets up. Aha, he said, I feel blessed. Amen. The other one gets up, I'm healed. Yes. Sick. Rise up. Get the charge of energy. Dunamis. Power. Amen. Ye shall receive power. That's the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is life, is energy of who? God. Flowing through the human soul. And so, as you drink in the energy and the life from the Lord, as you drink it in, and as you give off energy and drink in more, and get together with the body and become one in spirit with the body of Christ, you get more and more energy. And God Almighty says that the time will come when we get together, when there shall be a great explosion of life in the earth. Hallelujah. That the world shall see Jesus as never before. Hallelujah. I want you to look at Jesus' prayer. Amen. So you ask me the question, what then of the communion? Bread, part of me. Break the bread, part of you. We are one. This is what you're saying. We are one in Christ. And if you have your knife in the brother's back, while you are giving him bread and deceiving him, you are Judas. That's the time the devil entered into Judas, when Jesus took up the sop and gave it to him. Did you ever know why? Did it ever occur to you that Judas was playing around with the devil all the while, and the devil never entered into him till he took the sop from Jesus? Yes, I am your friend. And the deception had reached a point that Satan had a wide open road, entered right into him, possession. And God said, that son of perdition will come again in the latter day. Not Judas, but the spirit that inhabited Judas. Yes. The Judas spirit is here. Blessed be the God. Mavis got a word a few days ago, about 3 days ago, from the Lord. It says, the betrayer, this is the time of the betrayer. He said, the accuser of the brethren dipped deeply in the dish, heavily in the dish. The accuser of the brethren dipped heavily in the dish. Take heed, mark well, it says. I'm trying to quote the exact words. Mark well what you hear, retain, and pass on about your brethren. Does it glorify God or edify? If it doesn't, cut it out, brethren. Let me tell you, stop being garbage carriers. Amen. Stop carrying trash, because trash is destructive to the body of Jesus Christ. You are killing your brother, and at the same time you're having communion with him. How are you going to get life from the same thing that you're destroying? Amen. I'll take one step further in the spiritual now. I'm going into another dimension now, apart from the natural. I say you talk against your brother. Do you know that if you think one evil thought, let's say it's not evil, because most of us try to say thoughts that are negative are not evil, but they are. One negative thought about a brother or a sister, and you send many devils to him. Did you know it's possible that devils leave from you and go to somebody? Look, devils work upon evil thoughts, even as angels of God work upon good thoughts. And if you have good intention, good desires, good thoughts about people, and you pray for them, then the prayer goes with good. But You know, some of the time you get your hardest time, Brother Skip, when somebody who is against you pray for you. Yes, they're against you. They want you to do so-and-so, and you didn't see it that way. You see that you should be doing so-and-so. And they say, all right, brother, we're going to pray for you. I mean, look out. You're going to get zapped. They're going to pray for you. Now they turn around and they start to pray. And in their prayer, their mind is saying, oh God, let Brother Skip come and do what we want him to do. It's a hindrance. It's a contrary prayer. Praise be to God. So, looking at it in the spiritual, it is giving license to devils and to contrary spirits to disturb God's people. But you don't know you're doing it. You're just a pawn of the devil. The devil is only using you, amen, to disturb and disrupt another person without your knowing. Christians must be on their double watch, or else in this hour it's going to be terrible with them. Praise be to God. And so we see the sin against the body is not only in action. Like Paul said, when you take the communion unworthily. But just living with thoughts, certain thoughts in your mind. Here I'm going to give you a little experience that probably you didn't have before. When I was a young Christian, in my ministry, I came out in my ministry. I wasn't taught by anybody but Jesus Christ. My idea of power was laying hands on a person and the person kick over. And man, we had some great, terrible circuses. The most you can call the circus in my meetings. Because one night a brother asked me to pray for him, and the man was, you know, plotting against me. And he brought a whole lot of people to prove to them that my prayer had no use. And I was praying and fasting for the man the whole day. And I came and touched him like this, and he cartwheeled over four benches.
Oh no.
And he made a sudden funny sound. And as he did that, the whole church was empty because they thought the man had gone crazy. And he just tore up that place, this cartwheel, and he and I alone left in there. Amen. But I wondered, you know. One day I went to a church and the whole church fell down on the ground. And I couldn't understand what was going on because I didn't know anything about it. And they were on the ground, and I couldn't understand. I couldn't get a word from anybody. And they were weeping and crying and everything, and I didn't know what was going on. And so the thing went on for many years, and I never had a real understanding. Because I found out that some of the people that were thrown down to the ground, they didn't get up righteous. It's the whole story. They went down to the ground and they got up and they did their thing and they come back in meeting and they get knocked down again. And I noticed that the people who pray for people, some people vomit when they cast devils out of them, but they vomit today and they come back tomorrow and they vomit again. You know, and it seemed to me as if it's a cycle that's going on. So I asked the Lord about this thing and I waited on God for my answer. And the strangest answer came, something I never expected. God says, when you take charge of a demon spirit and you command the demon spirit doesn't do what you say with your mouth. He does what you say with your mind. And if your idea of power is that somebody should drop and fall on the ground, he said, everybody you touch just going to fall down if they are not strong enough, spiritually speaking. If they give way to you, if they open to you any at all, bam, they're going down on the ground. You don't even have to touch them. You come in the room with that intention and everybody fall down who is subject to your spirit. He said it is a spirit that is seeing what you want and doing exactly what you command. And I learned a great lesson. So I stopped commanding spirits to do what I want. And just tell them to do what Jesus wants. You see, because I notice some people that pray for you, they start pushing you backwards. Start pushing you backwards. They want you to fall down. I mean, all of us have noticed that. Isn't that a fact? They want you to fall down. It's as if the glory in seeing people fall down. Yes, I am powerful. I still got the power. Amen. It's an ego spirit. And I tell you, I got rid of it. Praise God. They still fall down sometimes when they want to, but I'm not I'm not really in the knocking down business again. I want to see God's people blessed. Really want to see God's people blessed. And just in the way Jesus would do it. You know, you speak to an evil spirit and you want to see this great demonstration. You must see something with your natural eyes. The person must vomit. The person must cry out or do something. Blessed be to God. Jesus said, get out of him. Hold your peace. The thing came out quietly. And many, many times in my ministry I've seen devils come out quietly, not a sound. I've seen a woman brought into my meeting, tied up with a rope. Pardon me, she was violent. I put her down there. I pulled the rope from around her and told her she was free. Prayed a little prayer and said, God bless you. And she said, thank you, brother. She said, pick up her rope and went home. I haven't seen her since, but I hear she's doing fine. Amen. And it's what you have in your mind. You see, let me tell you something very negative now. Do you know that some of us who want to see demonstrations is because we don't believe God and we want something to convince us? If you believe God, that God said, for everyone that prayeth, receive it. Hallelujah. And I'll give you a little blessing that the Lord gave me about everyone that prayeth receive it. Every time I pray for something, I imagine. I don't wait for a vision. I make my own vision. I imagine that I see God says, go, give it to him. And an angel leave immediately. It's left for me now to receive what I pray for. Amen. It's like Timmy praying for a big airplane. He doesn't want a plaything one. He wants a big good one. And they come and daddy say, okay, he sent and bought him $30,000 plane, and it's parked out there. Now what would he do with it? Amen. He'd have to wait for a few years before that prayer could be answered, eh? Hey, Timmy? Yes. Praise God. You'd have to wait for a few years before you could do anything to that plate. And this is the condition with us and God. Praise God. Let's go back on the main thought. The main thought tonight is the sin against the body of Christ. Let's turn to John 17. And we're going to look into Jesus' prayer here. Praise God. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What was he talking about? He was talking about Christ, coexistent with God from times immemorial. That the glory that Jesus Christ and the Father had, Jesus said, I want you to give me that glory now. What was he going to do with it? And look at verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now what do you have anyhow? Jesus said, Father, give me the glory that you and I had before the world was. And that is something that our imagination cannot conceive. the glory of Almighty God before the world was. A glory so powerful, so magnificent, that God had to put a cloud between himself and Gabriel and Michael. That Gabriel and Michael cannot look God in the face. Amen. That God has to put a veil between him. You remember Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 11 said, speaking about the covering over the head, and he said because of the angel. The angels have to have a covering between them and God. Amen. If you want the scripture for it, you can ask and I'll give you later. But praise be to God, the veil, therefore, the covering, therefore, was to prevent the greater radiation of God's power from hitting his beings, because they were not made to stand such magnificence. Now, Jesus said, this is what I give them. I've given you, little man. And the angels say they can't understand it. They say this thing we can't understand. We'll have to seek into this. We have to hear about this. And the whole heavenly host tonight, brethren, believe you me, the whole heavenly host, every man and every woman who has passed on and gone into the heavenly, is tonight watching keenly, like looking up on a television screen, watching us. Amen. Run the race and fight the devil. They are not watching indiscriminately either. Every man in heaven who had failed at a certain point is watching a man on earth who is winning on that one to see how he did it. Because this is one thing angels don't know, Peter don't know, Paul don't know, John don't know, how we are going to do what we don't know. You get it? Yeah. We don't know how we're going to do it. If I ask you how you won the victory that you won, you don't really know how you won that victory you won. Under the time, at the time, you were prepared to fight and to win, and you did. Blessed be to God Almighty. And so, this glory, therefore, is to give, to be given to us. But then, why is this glory being given to us? That they all may be one, verse 21, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Now this thing, brethren, is absolutely impossible according to how I understand it. But blessed be to God, most possible according to God's understanding. Amen. Can you see what I'm saying? A thing which humanly is impossible, but not with God. I in them, thou in me. Who is the thou? Father. Who is the I?
Jesus.
Who is it? Then we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the other parameter there. And so when you accept Jesus, you get the blood, the life. He who were dead in trespasses and sin, that God resurrected by his life. You get the life. And as soon as you get the life, now you're a living man, you can take living things. So the Holy Ghost comes in. But the Holy Ghost had Jesus in him, and Jesus had God in him. So you get the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. When you walk in the Spirit, then the development, it begins to get bigger than you. Then it bursts through the rim and comes out, and people look at you, they see God. It's a manifestation of God. That it which is within is breaking out through your skin and coming out and being manifested, and the glory which I have given thee, which thou hast given me, I give to them. Where is the glory? It's inside, but it's coming to me on the outside. The Bible says, thinking of Ezekiel chapter 1, chapter 9, and it says, and the glory of God, which was in the Holy of Holies, came out and stood in the outer court. Hallelujah. Amen. And that means the glory of God is to come out in human bodies right in this tribulation time in which we are. In this tribulation time in which we are, the glory of God is coming out in the body. Get a tip. See? And praise God. And this is the picture. But there's something worse here. I don't know if you saw it, but there's something real terrible here. Right here, Jesus said, the way that I want them to be is just like, oh, I am in you, are in me, and I am in you, and we are in each other. I want to be in them that they might be in one another. Amen. The only way that I can move in you is when I am moving in Christ and you are moving in Christ. Amen. Then my communication becomes absolutely perfect with you, so that I speak a word and you hear it in your spirit. I suffer and you feel it in your soul. And you send aid to me without knowing, because you feel that this brother is in need. Amen. Don't you see? I can move in you as God moves in you if I move in God and God is in you. Hallelujah. Can you see it? It's a beautiful thought, and it's slightly on the weird side. If you'll excuse my saying so, because some people think they can do it by manpower and they are concentrating and getting into one another. But blessed be to God Almighty, we shall attain through Christ. Only when we move on in Christ that we will be able to accomplish this fact. And we need to get rid of Uzziah. Get him out of the way, that we might see the Lord high and lifted up. Praise be to God. Come here again. Let's see something here. Verse 23. He's going to explain it. He said, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. How then are we going to be one? Let us get together and join one church. Let us get together and make a big organization that all of us are members. Amen. And then when we call each other brother, we have a different meaning to it. Hallelujah. Now, are you with me? Can you see what I'm saying? That most of the people going around and calling each other brother, they mean you are my church brother. Amen. They mean you and I are belonging to the same organization. Another one says brother, he means that we believe the same thing. Amen. Another one says brother, and he has some ulterior motive behind it. It's not brother of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We will soon have to leave all other bodies and groups and group ourselves together, because the same Christ is crying out in us all, and we find no more barriers of denominations. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me. I'm closing. You're not I'm tired of me yet. I don't want you to be. So turn to Ephesians. And then we could probably close on that note if that's where God wants us to go. Ephesians, I haven't been with you for a long time. I don't know if you're still long-winded.
Yeah.
You used to be. Amen. Praise God. You know, I'd continue like this all night until I finish the whole Bible. We were in a convention one night, and one brother, you know, it was a free convention, open convention, and I tell you something, I've had enough of that. Amen. I believe God should control a convention. Anyhow, this brother jumped up, a young man, and he started preaching in Isaiah chapter 1. And he went to chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And he went to chapter 3. And he went to chapter 4. Well, I won't tell you, but he was at 53. And we couldn't take it any longer. And the moderator went up to him and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Son, I have a funny feeling that you're going to preach off the whole of Isaiah." And he said, "If you had let me, I would." He had reached 53 chapters after we had stayed there for over 2 hours listening.
Lord,
lead
me
thy
path.
Amen.
Renew a right.